and I had a chance to talk to Keith Richards from the Stones about his great album called Wingless Angels, which I helped put together with my brother Brian and Keith. And it's basically Justin Hines from the Dominoes' last album before he passed. And Justin was one of the all-time greats. So make sure you check out Wingless Angels. It's on iTunes and it's just going into the stores now. So check out Wingless Angels, great album featuring guitar by Keith Richards. It's called Keith Richards Presents the Wingless Angels. Here's Keith. Keith? Hey. Yeah, man. So we're ready to start, you know?
Okay. Right. Let's
cool. All right. Greetings to Maximum Respect. Native Wayne here, and we're honored and blessed today to have one of the greats of music and one of the godfathers of reggae music, Keith Richards. Welcome, Keith.
Hey, Wayne. How are you doing? Cool. How's everybody? All right?
Maximum Respect, man. So let me see. It took two Wingless Angels albums in 40 years. I mean, I know it's timeless music, but why did it take so long?
As they say in Jamaica, soon come.
Definitely, man. And you said that the drums that you had bought for them took like 25 years to cure before you could actually record with them, eh?
Yeah, it's that's a strange thing. This is in the 70s, and we said we need new drums. So, and we had them made by one of the great makers in Kingston. And he said to me as we picked him up, and this is in like 73 or something like that, he said, they won't be any good for 25 years. Or they won't reach, you know, their maximum until for 25 years. So we beat them for 25 years, and sure enough, in 96, they really started to come into their own. The guy was right on the money, you know.
Fantastic, man. And like the new Wingless Angels album is a really fitting tribute to Justin, you know?
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I think he would be very pleased with it.
I suddenly realized that what I had in the can was like Justin Hines' last session. And so that added, you know, that added importance to putting it out. Before then, as Brian and you know, I mean, it's been hanging around in the can for quite a while. And Brian did a lot of work on it, and I suppose the impetus for it all is, the fact that Justin passed away, and we said, well, you know, then in that case, we have to do it, you know.
Definitely, man. Well, what was so special about Justin, why he touched the world like he did, why they even call him Saint Justin?
Justin, well, you knew him as well as I, and... it was an incredible combination. I mean, I don't think I've met a sweeter man, you know, in anywhere that I know. And I've no doubt some of his family might argue about that, but as far as I'm concerned, one of the sweetest, gentlest guys I've ever known, and very unassuming, and an incredible voice. He's one of those guys you wonder why sometimes that he was just doing the domino stuff, you know, that they didn't get a chance to branch out anymore. And so maybe he did this way. I don't know, you know.
Definitely, man. And Wingless 2 kind of focuses more on Justin. The first one was more like chanting, but, you know, is it kind of ironic since he passed that you actually set out to focus on Justin's voice on the Wingless 2 album?
Yes, I think so. I mean, I think, you know, hey, you know this, guys. It's like really who's stepping to the fore, and Justin really stepped up during those sessions at that time, you know. Maybe he knew it was going to be his last one, I don't know.
Wow, that's true, man. And Justin's early song, Carrie Go Brincombe, was one of the first kind of Rasta revolutionary songs, and it was actually banned in Jamaica. So he was actually the original kind of Rasta rebel, predating Bob Marley.
Oh, yeah. In front, I would say, although, I mean, Bob was working in the 60s too, right? The Wailers, you know, when they used to wear suits and stuff.
Right, the slick suits.
So, I mean, basically, they come out of the same generation. And, you know, and Justin, to me, is up there with Bob and Gregory Isaacs and a million more that would be, you know, Sugar Minot. And, you know, I could go on and on.
Definitely, man. And Steer Tone, where it all came from, is kind of like a spiritual but kind of revolutionary tone, eh?
Yeah, and it is a weird town. I mean, it was a village when I first went there. But, I mean, it's quite a big town now, but... in the early 70s, I think 72, it was, although it was on the crossroads, it was pretty much just a Rasta village. And I just caught the end of that last In the Bush sort of stuff about Steertown. It's gotten big now, you know, but then everything changes.
Definitely, man. And in the Wingless music, there's a sort of joy in the music. It like puts a smile on your face. Sometimes these guys play and just chant for days, eh?
Yeah, and I mean, that is what has always attracted me to it. If you can get away with it, sit around all day and play drums and play music and just, a sheer joy. As you say, what a joy and a comfort, you know.
Definitely, man. And as far as some of the songs on the album itself, like Shady Tree kind of has a sort of a Delta blues feel, kind of like a Lead Belly. Did you put some of your blues influence into the album?
Yeah, a little. It all depends how the song feels and stuff. But I mean, hey, if I play, there's always going to be a bit of blues in it. But they came up with a Shady Tree, which is a great song, and I've got to say hats off to Maureen, to the queen of Rasta, you know.
Yeah, man. And also I really like So Sweet. It kind of has a angelic sound to it with the violins. And since Justin and Loxie and Jackie have all passed, actually on the album they said they're wingless no more. These guys were really kind of like Rasta angels, eh?
Yeah, man. I mean, they're flying now, wings or not, you know. And hey, it's my fortune and good luck to meet those guys and play with them and become family with them and vice versa. And you know, everything takes its course, you know. But I'm going to miss them all, sadly, you know.
The Rasta man a ring out Mount Zion bells when I get there. Oh, what sorrow will be over, even the joys go over. The Rasta man a give my
manna ring up on Zion Hills when I get there. The piggy manna ring up.
Native Wayne here on Alternative, the wickedest rock reggae show on earth. Here's a little more with Keith Richards from the Stones.
And tell us a little bit about when did you first come to Jamaica and what attracted you to Jamaica in the beginning? Because you told me it's the only place where your heart beats at the right pace.
Yeah, sure. the Stones were recording in Kingston, Goat's Head Soup. And we were working at Dynamic Sounds, you know, Byron Lee's place. And when we finished, I decided to stay on and went to the North Coast, up to Miami Bay to start with. And that's after a few days on the beach. Who do you bump into? But Loxie and Jackie. So we got to talking and hanging, you know, the usual. Got to know each other.
Cool, man. Excellent. And then your association with reggae goes way back. I mean, you're one of the longest international musicians ever to be associated with reggae. I mean, how did this come about and what attracted you to reggae and what kind of stuff were you listening to back then?
Well, first off, I really got into reggae the minute I started to live in Jamaica in late 72. Reggae then was just really kicking in. It was just taking off. I think the harder they come was at St. Anne's at the... in the cinema, where they used to shoot up the screen every night. Give me one odd man. And they were shooting up the screen. And the Wailers, Bob's first album, Catch a Fire, had just come out. And so there was this whole buzz, and you know, with Jimmy and Bob sort of going international. That and I just happened to be there at that time, so I got caught up. And then, of course, I'm listening to, you know, Kenny Booth, and then we can go on with them on and on, Dennis Brown, and see it, you know. And I got a concentrated education in reggae just by living there throughout the, I don't know if I was about there 6 months to start with, and by then I was firmly Jamaican.
Yeah, man. And I know you always had a soft spot for Gregory Isaacs. You actually said that his voice is the national treasure of Jamaica. Tell us what's special about Gregory.
Yeah, Gregory, I learned the songs too. I mean, a voice like velvet, and you know, with that beautiful, effortless delivery. But the songs as well. He came up with, you know, Hey, Night Nurse, you know, Handcuffs, you know.
Yeah.
Love Overdue, his first record. I mean, beautiful stuff. A great writer, a great singer, and a great producer.
Definitely, man. And then
he still owes me $400.
That's wild, man. And tell us about some of your reggae stuff. I know you recorded like Cherry O' Baby and Too Rude and You Don't Have to Mean It and all. Tell us about some of your reggae stuff.
Well, I, you know, sometimes you come up with a song and it, you're not sure. Sometimes I just put a song out in the studio, you know, and Charlie will suddenly pick up on a reggae beat instead of. But it could have gone one way or the other, and then suddenly that gives me an idea of how the tracks go. Because sometimes you just switch them, put that beat on it, and you say, that's what this song was missing. You know, I was playing it in the wrong beat. You know, and it's a lot of it's just, you know, it's luck. It's well, what happens in the studio. I've started to play a song, and for some reason, you know, Charlie will pick it up on a reggae beat instead of the regular rock and roll beat, and then suddenly you look at the song in another way. You know, you look at it suddenly through Jamaican eyes, you know, and get Jamaicanized.
Yeah, man, definitely.
Cherry, oh, cherry, oh, baby, why in need of thee? You don't believe at all what have you left me to do? It's so long I've been waiting for you to come right in. Now that we are together, let's make my joy run over. Oh, yo. Try me.
make you wear no frown. Say you love me madly, then why do you treat me badly?
Tell me about some of the actual Wingless Angels sessions when you were in there. What was the vibe like in there? Was it like real magic having all of them together in one room, eh?
Yeah, it always is. That's one of the great things about recording with them in the right environment, you know, which is usually just a room in a house or that little studio down the road from us. But where they, whenever they're feeling comfortable, the vibe is fantastic. You know, I mean, it goes on all night and there's a lot of smoke.
Yeah, man. And I know you did some amazing work with Peter Tosh. You know, what attracted you to Peter's music and what was it like working with him?
Peter is a very reserved guy, but at the same time, very solid. And I had some good times with him. We once retrieved, I had a Range Rover that somehow ended up in Byron Lee's garage. And Peter and I went back to sort of retrieve it, except there were no wheels and there was no seat. So Peter and I are hanging around in Byron Lee's drive, scratching our heads, saying, oh, screw it. he is a great guy. I think he got a little weird later on, and I don't really know the ins and outs of that. And I mean, not a very nice way to go. But the Peter I knew was a very interesting guy, very introspective, and he had his own sense of purpose, whatever the purpose was. Don't ask me.
Oh, yeah, man. And I know you have the book coming out. And is there any stuff about the Wingless Angels in the book?
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to be mentioned. Yes, they're certainly in there, yeah. I mean, it probably, I don't even know how much, but there's quite a bit.
Cool, man. Fantastic. And when are we going to see you back in Jamaica again?
I don't know. It depends on scheduling and everything like that. I'd like to get down there sometime this winter.
Fantastic. Cool, man.
Okay, one love, Wayne. Okay.
Maximum
you.
Respect.
All right, brother.
Blessed love.
Yeah, okay. Man.